I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today we're going to doing something a little bit unusual for us. We've got a multi-part series. This is episode one of Helter Skelter, as we take a look at Charles Manson and the Manson family, as well as the Tate-LaBianca murders. So we usually only do, usually we don't do multi-part series, and usually we don't take on these more famous events for a couple of reasons. Mostly that people, or just other podcasts generally cover these things a lot. So we always try to do some of the stories that are less well-known.
And harder to fact-check.
True. but you're not here yet. So I have to edit you out. The other reason is that I just don't like doing multi-part series. But this is an interesting story, and there's a local connection. So we're going to give it a shot. This is a four-part series. It won't necessarily be totally chronological. This episode is going to focus on young Charlie Manson. Episode number two, part two, will focus on the members of the Manson family, or at least the main players. They were at one point anywhere between 20 and 30 members of the Charlie Manson family. We're certainly not going to cover everyone, but we're going to cover, the main players. Part three, we'll get into the murders themselves, and then part four, the investigation, the trial, and the aftermath. So we hope that you'll join us for all four episodes. We've only done a multi-part episode one other time. It was early on. We did a two-part series on the Axeman of New Orleans. You guys remember that?
That was our very first one, Timmy.
Yeah, it was one of our earlier ones.
No, that was our very first one together.
Maybe the first one together, yeah. So this is unusual for us. So we're going to give it a shot, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Pill Poppin', Penis Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm doing all right, Timmy. How are you?
I am well. How was your Christmas?
It was good.
Was it better than George Michael's?
Clearly, it was.
Okay.
Clearly, it was better. We lost two more. Carrie Fisher's gone now, too.
Yeah. Some comedian died today.
This whole freaking year needs to be written off.
I am going in hiding for the next 4 or 5 days until 2016 is over. I'm afraid.
You would kind of do that anyway, though, wouldn't you? Like, that's not unusual.
Well, that's true. But I don't want the Grim Reaper to find me.
I don't think he knows where to look.
I hope not.
he hasn't gotten to the D list yet, Timmy.
How was your Christmas, Timmy?
It was great. I didn't do anything. what did you...
Sweet.
Did you expect a different
answer? Did you see your mama during Christmas?
I did. I saw my mom, and I think it was it. Did you, Brandy, I know that... How was your Christmas? Are you laughing? You're not even here yet.
My Christmas was fine. My Christmas was fine.
Now, I understand Noah was a little disappointed.
Noah was pissy because he didn't get a cannon for Christmas. And informed him that he couldn't have one in city limits.
So Noah wanted a cannon. Did he tell you that prior?
Well, no. He told me that on Christmas Eve, which makes it hard. I mean, you can't just, that's not one of those things you can go to Walmart and get.
No.
First of all.
You probably buy them on Amazon, though.
Well, but it wasn't coming overnight. And quite frankly, I was a little hesitant to get him a cannon. He doesn't have a boat or a parrot.
Well,
we don't have a lot of marauders around my house.
You don't know when
to need a cannon.
Do a siege on your bedroom.
Well, you just never know when a cannon is going to come in handy.
I think he wanted to shoot himself out of it.
Well, that would be
you know, that is a dying art.
Well, mm-hmm. And that may be, but he can do it. He can do his art on, you know, when he can afford his own cannon.
Man, I've been wanting a cannon for 50 years.
Well, I'd like to have a cannon.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to type.
Man's
look
keeping
on
us
Amazon.
Down. Man is keeping us down, Colonel.
Oh, yeah.
Look on Amazon. Maybe it's on the after Christmas sale.
I would like to introduce a man of, high moral fiber.
Nope. There is no man like that here.
A man who's known for his generosity as well as being a very, Christian-oriented, would you say?
I would not.
The moral fiber of our podcast, the moral
I wouldn't say that either.
Of all podcasting today, a man who's the most dangerous man in podcasting, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard at Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm average today, Timmy.
How was your holiday? I saw you were bitching about it on Facebook.
No, I wasn't bitching about it. I just, Renee decides to take a trip, for God knows how long, Paris Hilton jetting around the country. Then she come back and she got 3 days to Christmas shop, mm-hmm. So you're rushing around. And
couldn't you have done that when she was away?
No, I can't. I don't know how to Christmas shop.
She's got the credit card.
I don't know what to buy people. How in the hell do I know what to buy people? I don't know what those kids like.
So you had some last-minute pressure to go Christmas shopping. After that, how was it?
After that, once the boys got home and everybody got settled in, it was fine.
Did you get a cannon for Christmas?
I would like to have a cannon. I would like to have a crossbow. I would like to have because this year almost came down to being a flamethrowing Christmas.
You're almost like our friend Brad Pardo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, but every year like that with me is, we go to her mother's house and, it's tense at best.
So. Does her mother like you?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know.
I'm glad I was sitting down for that revelation.
All right, Colonel, are you looking forward to this series of podcasts that we're going to do now?
Well, it's the Charlie Manson four-way, Timmy.
it's sort of the Manson marathon.
It's a Manson festival.
Yes.
It's a family festival.
The tough thing about doing
this is a family-friendly show now, Timmy.
It is. It is. You're right. It is now. Because Charles Manson was a family man.
He was a family man, yes.
Yeah, have to admit that. Okay. So before we get into Manson and all of his dastardly deeds, I want to give some shout-outs to our listeners who support us on Patreon. Thank you very much. Without your support, we could not stay on the air. So we want to thank all of those who support us throughout the year on Patreon. If you would be interested in supporting us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee little bit, Timmy. Just a wee little bit.
Everything helps. We certainly appreciate it. So I'm going to run down the list of folks who are currently supporting us on Patreon. Thank you. Thank you very much from the bottom of our heart. Alicia and Chip, Jen Moyer, Brandy McBride. And, Jen Moyer, I had apparently missed her the last couple of times. So, Jen, my apologies. You're very generous in your donation, and we greatly appreciate it. So we're hoping you have a Merry Christmas and a great New Year, and thank you so much for supporting the show. As I said, Brandy McBride, Annette Petray, in the Bronx. I bought some soap off of Annette, so I'm looking forward to getting some soap.
I got some Woodsy Scented Body Butter coming, Timmy.
Are you excited about that?
Woodsy and rum.
Yeah, are you going to lather yourself up?
I'm going to lather myself up like a sumbitch, Timmy. Mm.
God.
Lise over there in Norway, thank you, Lise, for your support. Leslie Hagar, thank you, Leslie. Amber Scoville, thank you very much. Jahara, whose Dolphins are in the playoffs, Colonel.
Unbelievable. They beat knocked the Broncos.
I told her early this year that the Dolphins were going to have a good year. She scoffed at it. But now that they're in the playoffs, she's all back on board a bandwagon. So, Jahara, we're rooting for you and the Dolphins this year. Andrew Happ, thank you very much, Andrew. Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens, of course, and her son Hunter, as well as her mother, Linda. Thank you all very much out there in California. Bridget Clavey, thank you for your support. Cindy Liu, thank you, Cindy. Cindy's kind of facilitating our film discussion group on our Facebook page. That's History Dweebs, the podcast. So we do all kind of cool stuff on there. So if you're not a member of the page, the group, certainly join us. Again, that's History Dweebs, the podcast. So Cindy Liu, thank you very much for your support. Heather Poole, thank you, Heather. Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast, both of them support our podcast, and we appreciate it very much. And get a chance. You haven't heard their podcast. You're probably the only ones that haven't. It's great. If you like mysteries and murder and macabre, check out Insight. And, of course, we get a dollar donation from Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Who? I got to give a special shout-out to the Rude Man today. Today is Rudy's fifth birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Rudy. Are you doing anything special today?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be all kinds of special events, Timmy. Around that house, Rudy is... The world revolves around Rudy at that house.
As well it should.
And I got to give one more before we get started. Because I lost a bet.
Okay.
To Nancy Palomino Jalapeno Papa.
Because Kansas City Chiefs kicked
her Denver's Chiefs butt. Beat my Denver Broncos badly.
And are the Broncos out of it now?
The Broncos are out of it. The wow. Chiefs knocked them out of it. And I got to say, go Chiefs. So go Chiefs.
Well, that was really enthusiastic. Come on, Colonel, give it a
go Chiefs.
Yeah,
go
better.
Chiefs. Come all
right,
on, Chiefs.
All right, that's a little better. I also want to say to apologize for Missy Horton Dean. We had her in the we had her getting killed in the fiction podcast. We had the podcast murders last time. But unfortunately, it got edited out. So, Missy, I'm sorry, and we'll kill you next time, I promise.
We don't edit anybody.
It got edited out of the script.
Ah.
Yeah. So, Missy, I'm sorry about that.
I think we were copy and pasting and combining the two.
No, I had her in and I switched some things around. And so, Missy, my apologies.
So, it's your fault.
And no, sometimes I do edit sometimes.
But we're gonna show up and kill you in person, Missy.
No, we're not.
We're going to make it better.
No,
we can do better than we did.
We are sorry that we left you out of the podcast because she's a longtime listener and. We want to be very supportive of her. We meant to kill you off in it, but we didn't. Maybe next year, if we do something similar, we will have you go in a very
gruesome, yeah, painful
fashion.
Manner.
Yes. But we appreciate you listening, Missy. Okay, so let's move on to the topic: Helter Skelter, Part One, Young Charlie Manson. So the one thing that's cool about this story is that Charlie Manson originated from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
The local boy made good, Brandy.
Clearly.
Although he grew up mostly in West Virginia and Ashland, Kentucky, which is kind of my neck of the woods where I grew up, he was born here in Cincinnati. So let's talk a little bit about him. In the summer of 1969, all eyes were on Los Angeles, California, where 9 people had been murdered, among them actress Sharon Tate, who was a movie star and the wife of movie director Roman Polanski. Of course, Sharon Tate was pregnant at the time of these murders. Police had said that the cult called The Family was responsible. And I'm giving them kind of a break here by saying the police, because they didn't really do a great job in this investigation, but they were able to eventually make the right connections. The leader of the family was a man, a ruthless manipulator named Charles Manson. American was captivated by him, as were the young women who were under his spell. I know you have a problem. You have a lot of young women under your spell, Colonel.
Yeah, but I don't make them cut swastikas into their foreheads and whatnot.
Yeah, at least not yet.
I like to think that I'm
above that.
Above that, yeah.
Anyway, girls snuck into two houses in Los Angeles in August of 1969, murdered a bunch of folks. The trial was nationally broadcast, and Manson became a household word, a household name, still is today. More than four decades after the murder, many people still have a fascination with Charlie Manson, who, by the way, is really, really short. I think he's only like 5'7".
Yeah, no, he ain't even 5'7". He may be 5'5 at best.
Yeah, and during the trial, you could really see when he was young how thin he was. And he was small growing up, and you know, he got picked on a lot for that. We'll talk about that.
You remember the Tonight Show? It was late night with Tom Snyder.
Yes. You remember that? Yes.
You remember Tom Snyder did the interview with him in the jail cell?
Absolutely.
And Charlie said to him, I remember this because Tom Snyder was a big guy.
Yeah.
And Charlie says to him, you know, I could just come right over that table right now. Well, and Tom Snyder said, well, then you would get your ass whipped, Charlie.
But, you know, that interview, and I saw that, Tom Snyder was kind of baiting him the whole time.
Oh, he baited him the whole time.
Yeah. He was, you know, because first he was saying, do you want to kill me, Charlie? And Charlie was like, no, I don't
have any particular thing.
But he kept pushing it. But, you know, Manson's a fruitcake. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about Charlie Manson, how he went from being an unwanted child to the head of the family. We're going to get into the different family members next episode. That's a whole episode in itself. But today we're going to talk about the early life of one Charles Manson. So Charles Manson's mother was a 16-year-old girl named Kathleen Maddox, and his father was a transient laborer named Colonel.
He was a Gandhi dancer.
See, you can't just be the colonel and go around doing crazy shit like that.
Yeah, but that colonel was his given name.
Yeah, that was his. He didn't earn it.
No, he didn't make it. He didn't make it up like you did.
He didn't earn it. He was born into it.
And I'm not proud to say, you know, I was going to give you shit about this, but his last name was Scott, so.
Colonel Scott.
Yeah.
That's like if me and you had a baby.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, she was a teenage mother, of course, and Colonel Scott was believed to have been married to someone else. So when Manson was born, she didn't, Kathleen never bothered giving him a name. I should have said this before we start out. There are so many, like, rabbit holes you can go down with this story, and it would be so easy to get sidetracked, and we're going to try to avoid that. And some of this stuff can be verified, some of this is legend, and some of this stuff is, you know, I think has been embellished over the years, and a lot of it by Manson himself, either when he was in front of juries or in front of the judge or in front of you know, parole hearing or in front of, you know, interviews or whatever. So, you know, take some of this with a grain of salt. But anyway, apparently early on, his mother did not even give him a name. When nurses handed her the paper to give him a name, she wrote no name. And to this day, the birth certificate reads, registered to no name Maddox. So there you go.
Maybe she meant Nonami. Nanami, Maddox.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice.
It was an old Indian.
Or maybe it was she misspelled Naomi.
Naomi, yeah.
Yeah, could be. But anyway.
He was a Comanche.
A few weeks later, the child was named Charles Mills Maddox, and was eventually given the name Manson because Kathleen got married shortly to a guy named William Manson, who she didn't know very long and didn't stick around very much long either. So Charlie never did have a supporting father figure. He didn't really have a supporting mother figure, to be honest, because his mother was either away or incarcerated through most of his childhood. But again, you know, he paints this picture of being this poor, neglected, abused child, which, you know,
it's not too far off.
It might not be too far off, but, you know, I've also read things where, you know, she did the best she could to be as a single teenage parent to raise him. And he certainly was raised, he certainly spent time with his grandmother, who was, you know, very religious. So, but, you know, he was kind of a bad seed coming out. Yeah. I mean, he really was. He was in trouble from almost day one. So it's hard to tell how much of this impacted him and how much of it is just, you know, he was just an evil seed.
He was a bad spawn.
He was.
Sometimes you get those people.
Sometimes. So William Maddox is not his real father, but the man who gave him his last name. He didn't stick around long enough to form memories. Colonel Scott is said to have been a young drugstore cowboy, whatever that is, a transient laborer working on a nearby dam project. Interesting story later on, we'll talk about Colonel Scott, who was from Ashland, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. That's where the federal prison is.
His brother ended up getting killed mysteriously in the late 1960s in Ashland.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh. They found him in his apartment. He was cut up, stabbed to death. And shortly before they found his body, police ran off a group of hippies that were hanging out nearby. And they were following a man they called the Preacher. So, and this is the time when Manson and the family were supposed to be in Southern California. So I don't know if there was any connection there. Just kind of interesting when I read it.
Did they call the Colonel's brother the Preacher?
I don't know if the colonel. I had what they called the colonel's brother, but
because it took two of them, I'm a colonel and a preacher.
I understand. Kathy Maddox gave birth to Manson while living in Cincinnati, at the General Hospital.
University Hospital. Now, they lived down in Saddamsville, Timmy.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
After she had ran away from her home in Ashland, Kentucky, which is about 2 hours from Cincinnati. It's about 30 minutes from Portsmouth, where I grew up. Kathleen later sued the man, Colonel Walker Scott, for bastardly.
Oh.
Which was a noun as well as an adjective in rural Kentucky.
For bastarding?
Bastardy. I guess for making her pregnant, I guess.
You can sue somebody for that?
Apparently. The court found in her favor, awarding her a $25 settlement.
Totally worth it.
And ordering Colonel Scott to pay $5 a month child support.
Ooh-wee, they hit him hard, didn't they?
Well,
he's on a Gandhi dance salary.
This was in the 40s, so he never complied with the order, and Manson likely never knew his biological or even met his biological father. There was a rumor at the time that his biological father was black.
He doesn't look black to me.
And some thought that factored into Manson's racism. But the claim appears to be groundless. So, again, a lot of this stuff, you know, it's kind of hard to sort out fact from fiction. There's been rumors that Charles' mother was Kathleen was a prostitute. And again, this seems to be something that Charlie has, you know, mentioned from time to time in interviews. His family disputes this, however. They deny that she was a prostitute.
They always do, though. How many families are willing to say, oh, yeah, she was a hoe?
Well, especially in her family, because she was very, her mother was very religious. But, you know, she was young, and she was running the bars at a young age. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily make her a prostitute. But I think, you know, you think it does, Colonel?
I'd say she's probably a prostitute, wouldn't you?
You know, it's such a broad term, you know.
She was a sex worker to me.
Maybe. But the family denies this. Now, what are your thoughts, Brandy?
She was probably a hooker.
Okay.
Well, I mean, how many things have your family denied about you, Devil?
I don't know. I don't listen.
They've denied most of
it. But let's say.
I don't listen.
I mean, to some degree. I mean, women take money for favors at times. Maybe it's not direct quid pro quo, per se. But, you know, whatever.
Well.
There's dispute over whether or not she was a prostitute. According to her family, according to Manson's family and Manson himself, here's another one of those stories that's out there that I recently read a biography on Manson, and this story was never mentioned. But according to lore, and Manson himself, I guess, Kathleen tried to trade Charles for a pitcher of beer shortly after he was born.
Not a tall pitcher either, Tim.
When she was an infant, she took
a shot.
She took her son to a local watering hole.
Who's going to take that deal?
I don't know, but man, they got ripped off, didn't they? She took him to a local restaurant/bar, set him up on the counter, and sparked up a conversation with the waitress. The waitress was eager to become a mother herself. And she was, you know, she made over Manson, said he was really cute. He was a cute little boy when you see pictures of him.
When you see pictures of him, he was a cute little boy. It doesn't look like he's going to turn out to be the devil.
Yeah, that was before the swastika in the middle of the story.
You know, that's not a bad deal because think all the wear and tear it saves on your vagina. One pitcher of beer, you don't have to get the vagina all torn up. You got your own little baby.
Well, yeah, unless that baby turns out to be Charlie Manson.
The
waitress is making over the baby and, you know, saying how much she'd like to have a little boy of her own. And Kathleen replied in a joking manner, a pitcher of beer and he's yours. Now, the waitress probably thought she was joking, but she brought Kathleen an extra pitcher anyway. What she didn't expect, though, was as soon as Kathleen finished her beer, she snuck out of the restaurant with Charles behind.
See?
Yeah.
It's a verbal contract. She can't be surprised. It's a verbal contract. That's right.
If you're not going to honor it.
Yeah. So anyway, again, this is part of the Manson, you know, sort of lore. So we don't know whether or not
A lot of things that have turned into fact have been things that Charlie has said over the years.
Yeah. And he's not the most reliable source.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Manson only made his way back home because his uncle found out that his sister had traded him for a pitcher of beer, and he went and got.
And that seemed wrong.
Yeah, he went back and picked up the boy. When Manson was 5 years old, his mother went to jail. She and a friend, a girlfriend of hers, were out drinking, and he met a man named Frank Martin. Martin was, you know, he had a wad of money, and he was splashing some money around.
He making it rain?
Yeah, he was buying him drinks.
Yes, he was.
And Kathleen decided that he had too much money for any one man.
Yeah.
She made that decision quickly.
So she snuck off. They were shooting pool, drinking. She snuck off. Now, you know, poor Frank Martin thinking he's going to get laid by these two women, right? He's in for a three-way. But
the devil's three-way.
Kathleen snuck off, and she called her brother Luther, who was another piece of work, who had probably the most influence on Charlie growing up. He got a lot of his racism from Luther. Luther, yeah. Luther was a Luther told Charlie not to believe any shit they told him in that Yankee school. This was in 1940, by the way.
Goddamn Yankees.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So Luther wasn't the best of influence on Charlie. But anyway, Kathleen went and called Luther and said, hey, we're out with this guy. We're drinking with this guy. And the guy has too much money for any one man. So she talked Frank Martin into driving her and her friend to a local hotel. But instead, she asked him, and so this guy thinks he's getting laid. You know, he's going to have a threesome.
He thinks he's having a three-way.
Yeah. But instead, she asks him to pull over so they can meet someone. And when they do, it's Luther. So, you know.
Now it's a four-way.
Well, yeah.
Now it gets weird because you got the brother and a four-way.
Well, and then you're thinking, you know. Yeah,
that's where it gets weird.
Yeah.
Well, Frank Martin is probably thinking, oh, this has not turned out the way I had envisioned it.
No.
Yeah. So, anyway, Frank's kind of like, well, he's going to roll with the flow. Okay, well, maybe I'm not going to get laid. We'll just drink a lot. So,
well, maybe I'll just have to give him a hand job. I don't know. Be a four-way old kinky thing.
They were all driving, and Luther asked him to pull over. And when he did, Luther had held up a ketchup bottle filled with salt, and he put it to Martin's back, and he claimed it was a gun. Martin was a little bit smarter than that. He didn't buy that, but Luther beat him in the head with the bottle.
Jesus.
And he took the money anyway. The group escaped with $27. Again, more money
than any one
more
man.
More money than any one man should have.
Yeah. They weren't very good crooks, though, because they were arrested shortly after. And what happened is that the guy just went back to the bar where he picked him up, and everyone knew who she was. And so Kathleen was sentenced to 5 years in jail. And Luther, he was sentenced to 10 years in jail. So, and they were sentenced to the prison in Moundsville, West Virginia, which was a pretty rough place. Charlie ended up staying with his aunt. So he was with his aunt part of the time and also with his grandmother part of the time. He mostly stayed with his aunt because it was closer to Moundsville, so he could visit his mother. Charlie would often in interviews talk about visiting his mother in prison.
How was your Christmas, Charlie? Well, I went up to see my mom in prison.
Yeah, that's where, you know, I used to have to go visit my mom at the
Dottie.
Yeah.
Well, don't you sully Dottie's good name now.
All Mother's Day, you know, I'd go up.
Charlie went up to prison. Devil. Charlie went up to prison and said, hey, Ma, I've been carrying this uncomfortable hunk of metal in my ass.
Oh, God. Right. Right.
What's that, Apocalypse Now?
No, that's from Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, yeah.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction.
So anyway, Charlie would visit his mom in prison. And I said, as earlier, he was raised by his aunt and his grandmother. And I said before, his uncle had kind of put in his head to distrust all Yankees.
Well, yeah, I tell my children that.
Yeah, I told him not to pay attention in school.
He was looking out for his
and
best
Manson,
interests.
So Manson grew up to be, you know, openly an aggressive racist. He missed school a lot. He would go, and then he would take off. Now, he was sort of well-behaved when he was with his grandmother because she kind of, you know, she was the only one that was kind of keeping.
She cracked a whip on his ass.
She did, but he respected her for some reason.
Well, because she wasn't a prostitute.
Could
we know of.
Could be.
So he was raised with his aunt. Now, they weren't rich, so it took a little creativity on his aunt's part to make Christmas magical. So Brandy's going to tell us about his life with his aunt.
Well, and again, who the hell knows?
Right, right. Because, you know, a lot of this is Manson's own testimony.
Right. Manson recounted that one year his grandmother got him nothing more than a hairbrush.
That's a good deal, Colonel.
If you brush your hair with it, she told Manson, you'll be able to fly like Superman.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
Get the tangles out, Charlie. Come on.
He did have some wild hair.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that was it. Maybe he was just
maybe she unkempt. Just wanted him to bathe.
Yeah, maybe he was unkempt.
The young man soon believed her and went around brushing his hair and jumping as high as he could.
Well.
Which naturally soon brought ridicule.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going around brushing your hair, jumping up and down.
Especially when you ain't flying.
Yeah. Oh, if you fly, you get respect.
Yeah. But when you brush your hair and say, check this out,
yeah.
And you just jump like 2 feet,
uh-huh.
The other kids are going to mock you.
Yeah, because you know what? You can actually do that without brushing your hair.
Exactly. You don't need to brush.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, so, yeah, that's what he was doing, walking around brushing his hair and jumping.
Well.
To make things worse, his classmates had been gifted a fortune in toys, and they showed them off gleefully.
Well.
I
wonder if anyone got a cannon.
Overcome by jealousy and probably his uncle.
By the way, how Manson, did Noah like his panther, his black panther?
Oh, he loves it.
Does he?
Yeah, he wore it around a lot.
Good.
That and Captain America.
I got Captain America.
Yeah.
I got Captain America socks.
Well, he has the whole
Do you
outfit.
Have underoos?
I don't have underoos, but I do have a system in which my wife tells me what matches and what don't.
You know,
that's called Garanimals.
Yeah, it's the Garanimals.
Captain America just seems to be. I just don't like him as well. I mean, I like Iron Man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What's your but problem Captain America?
Oh, he's just too clean cut.
He throws
that's
that
the point.
Sword. Yeah,
he doesn't have a mighty sword. Shut up.
He throws that mighty shield. I'm sorry.
Well,
he might have a mighty sword. You've
I mean,
seen him in those tights.
How is it that you're stuck at the bottom of the ocean for 40 years? I mean, what kind of superpower shit is that?
You survived under the ocean for 40 years. That's
Wasn't
pretty goddamn impressive.
And he was already genetically mutated.
Yeah.
Was he frozen?
Uh-huh.
I just don't.
Oh,
I'm
like
just
Walt
not
Disney.
A big a. I'm just not a big.
What are you, a Captain USSR?
I know. I like the Hulk.
Okay, you Putinista. What
I,
are you?
I mean, like the Hulk.
Who doesn't like the Hulk?
Well, Hulk. I'm saying
not
like
Hulk.
Hulk.
Oh, Hulk. The Hulk, the green guy.
Yeah, I like him. I like.
He tears shit up. Now what's?
Well, I know, but he's got temper. He pissed him off. It doesn't matter if you're a good guy or a bad guy. He'll beat the shit out of you. And who's somewhere? What's some of the other ones?
Iron Man and Hawkeye.
I used to like.
And Scarlet Witch and.
Oh, them women, man. They just make them women.
Yeah, women ain't got no superpowers except for the vaginas.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
What you know what I never
Ignorant
got about
shit.
The Hawk is there's no way he
goes through a lot of clothes.
Yeah, and there's no way he could be married because you there ain't you're married. He'd be green 10 times a day.
Yeah, that's
his
true.
House would be all tore up. He'd probably beat the hell, you know, because when he turns
oh, yeah.
into
oh,
the
he'd,
Hawk,
he'd have some
he
just
starts
domestic.
So he'd life. Have all kinds of domestic DV charges against him. So he wouldn't be a superhero. He'd be. Then they'd have to put him in a special jail that
you
he couldn't break out
You keep talking about nothing. Can
I'm
we talk
saying,
about Manson?
It doesn't make sense. The Hulk doesn't
he
make sense.
He is having problems with Captain America, and you're defending the Hulk for no reason.
I'm not defending. I'm saying it doesn't make sense.
I
there's
like
holes,
the Hulk.
It doesn't matter.
There's holes in that plot with the Hulk.
There's, you know, let's not think too hard on made-up characters, okay?
I'm just
All
saying.
Right, name some more. We can go through them.
No, no.
Do you think he turned green when he was in the middle of some really good
sex? Iron Man is practical. I mean, he invents shit. You know, he's not a superhero. He just puts on that, you know, that little.
Thor's a god.
Oh, Thor's gay. Come on, Colonel.
Oh, he gay as hell. He gay as hell. He gay as George Michael.
I don't think he is.
Yeah, he is.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that. Not that there's anything wrong with
that.
Well,
and we're not speaking ill of George Michael. Mm.
No, but I'm just saying.
Who is, by the way, the same age as the Colonel, George Michael.
He's old age.
Death circles him.
Yeah. It's a matter of time, Colonel.
If you look outside this building, there are vultures circling around.
Oh, I have to we're just teasing.
No, you don't.
We're driving. Yesterday was a beautiful day here in Cincinnati.
It was 70 degrees.
70 degrees. So.
You stayed inside, too, didn't you?
Yeah, but it was nice to look out.
I took the dog down by the park down to the river and Taylor and Tanner with me, and we seen one of those three-wheel motorcycles.
Yeah, a trike. Yeah. Oh, a slingshot.
A slingshot, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't Google slingshot motorcycle, look it up. But it pulls up next to us. And this guy is dressed all in black leather. And Taylor looks out the window and he goes, "God damn, the recession hit Batman hard."
That's an amazing story.
I guess see, that's
why
to be there,
that's why he's on the podcast. He just, you know, he drops these little stories. I mean, if fascinating.
You would have seen the guy was dressed like Batman, but he had one of his slingshots in a motorcycle.
Did he have the mask on?
He had a helmet that came over his thing. It was all black.
So he was not dressed like Batman.
So he wasn't as badass as he thought he was.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and Taylor just said
little paunchy guy
got hit hard by the recession.
Ant-Man, that's the guy I don't like.
Why don't you like Ant-Man?
Because it's bullshit. They just made him up.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're all made up.
But I mean, they needed another character. They needed another line.
I don't think so.
Who's the guy made out of fire?
I want to call him Flame on the Human Torch.
How the fuck are you going to invite him to dinner? I mean, how are you even going to hang out with the other superheroes? He sit down in a chair, burn the motherfucker up. I mean, you can't
because
have
he's not
anyway.
On fire all the time. You fucktard.
You never know when he's going to turn.
He knows when he's going to turn into fire. He knows he can control it.
Every time I've seen him, he's been a ball of fire. All I'm saying is,
really,
you're
you've
trying
seen
to
him?
Have a nice
have
Thanksgiving
you seen,
dinner.
You've seen him.
I've seen.
Him. Every time you've seen him.
Every time I've seen.
Did
him.
He come in here looking for a job?
He's a dislocated superhero.
Well,
so you're trying to have a superhero.
He controls
dinner.
It.
Do you see what I'm getting to?
I got you.
Okay, yeah.
He controls it. You're acting like every superhero is like you and can't control their own shit.
The Hulk can't
the
control.
The Hulk can't control. You get him angry, he breaks shit up.
But he's about
your furniture.
He's about the only one. The rest of them can control their shit.
No.
Or they have super suits that they put on or whatever. Or they're just like that all the time. Like Thor is a god all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, but he ain't
Captain
shit without
America,
his hammer.
Captain,
yeah,
well,
Thor
he
ain't
is.
Shit without the
he
hammer.
Is.
And he's gay as hell.
Captain America.
Okay.
Captain America.
Nothing wrong with that.
Is Captain America without his suit?
You know what? Why don't he come out of the closet and tell people he's
well, why don't you come out of the closet?
I'm just saying.
Really, if Thor would come out of the closet, it would be a big step for gay rights.
And here's the other thing. Okay, they're all at they're all at the super party.
It would be.
At the superhero party.
They're all at your made-up superhero party.
And you got Wonder Woman who...
All of these made-up people.
Yeah. Again, a woman.
A woman, yeah. But she got some power. But anyway...
She's token, though.
You know she's a tease.
Oh,
and she's talking to the Hulk. All right, now...
Can either one of you say Hulk, really?
The Hulk says,
either one of you, can you say Hulk?
Hey, you know, how about we, you know, the Hulk gives her the right swipe on Tinder or whatever it is. And he's like, you know, you want to go out Tuesday? And she's like, oh, no, that's the night I wash my hair or whatever. You know he get pissed off because she been leading him on. So now he turning green.
Superhero Mingo.
Beating up Wonder Woman. Yeah, Superhero Mingo. He's beating up her. Actually, as Hawk, I'm a semi-superhero. I'm not in the league of superheroes.
No.
But, so now you got
that's
her.
That's Marvel keeping the man down.
Who's led the Hulk along, right? And she got those tight clothes on, boobs all
sticking
out.
And she can do that shit to Thor because
he don't care. Right. He wouldn't even pop no wood.
Yeah.
But Hulk, he going to get more than angry. He's going to get agitated and horny and... Everything.
Yeah. He's going to turn green.
Yeah. You don't give the Hulk. You don't
Can't
give
the
Hulk
the
green
Hulk.
Balls.
Don't tease
You don't
the
leave
Hulk.
Him with a case of green balls.
Yeah. He gets mad.
So that's okay. All I'm saying.
That's all he's saying.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. That's perfect. Fucking idiots. All right. So.
Charlie Manson.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to. So this guy was real.
Now, what kind of superpower did he have?
Well, he.
He had the power of bullshit.
He could mesmerize.
He did.
People,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did have the power of bullshit. So anyway.
You know, it's really amazing when you start thinking at how much
it'd be amazing to get through his fucking stories.
Yeah, how
would
much
be amazing
influence
to
he
deal.
Had over his family, you know, the family members. When you think, you hear him talking, you just say, this guy's so much
This guy's a lunatic, yeah.
And it's bullshit. How did he get, you know, so many people?
They were all on acid. I don't know.
I believe you could do it again. I mean,
with the right people.
I believe it's been
so
done.
There's so many misfits.
It's been done.
Well, look,
it's done.
There's a team colonel, so.
Well, no, it's not that. No.
You can apologize to everybody on that. I apologize to the colonel's crew for Timmy's rudeness.
remember, do not talk directly into the mic. Or
but no,
send, or,
I mean, nobody on Colonel Sean Crew is going to go out and just chop somebody up if I, well, Allie might.
You know what?
She'd just do it for fun.
Here's the thing. I have this whole script here that I haven't even gotten through the first, like, two paragraphs on.
Please continue, because
Come on, stay on topic, devil.
And
let's go.
Focus. This might focus, tell us how he
focus,
did that.
Focus, devil, focus.
I'm going to focus your fucking, all right, so... So all these kids got all these gifts, and they brought him into school to show him around. Manson thought that they were mocking him.
Which they probably were.
Well,
had he been the Hulk, he would have turned green.
He'd have been green.
So they took his Charlie took all their stuff, took their toys, that he took all the toys he could find and set them on fire.
Yeah, that's
like the Human Torch.
That's all right.
A little bit, but different.
That's why you can't invite Charlie to no parties.
He claims to burned down his school, too, but again, that's something he claims.
When Charlie was six and in the first grade, he talked girls in his class into beating up boys he didn't like.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's what it should be.
That's what, yeah. He's a smooth talker.
Yeah, you got the shit kicked out of you by some girls, didn't you?
Yeah. More than, you know, just recently.
Right, well, but without you
shit.
Paying him. Yeah, exactly. See?
Cost Timmy $20 extra for that, but...
When the principal came to ask Charlie, why'd you do that? Charlie's response was, it wasn't me. They were doing what they wanted. You can't blame me for that, which is pretty fucking genius, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't blame me.
Kind of uses that
like.
Later on.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, he uses that defense a couple times.
You ever been beat up by a girl?
No, I've never been beat up, really.
When I worked at the bar, I was working as a doorman. Mm-hmm. I was trying to break up a fight one time between two guys, and a girl, one of the girlfriends of the guys,
mm-hmm.
I had a hold of him. She came up and punched me right in the side of the face.
Oh, man. Hey, women, I know women fight dirty, man.
Oh, she did. I was just
there's no honor.
She stunned me, too. I mean, she could hit hard. The devil's punched me before it's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have there's no rules. You know?
There's no rules.
Uh-uh.
And you know what I did to me? I let go of her boyfriend. I grabbed her by the hair and threw her out in the street.
You know,
her boyfriend didn't punch me. She did. That's
when they, they go that kicking in the balls. That's the favorite thing.
It's the scratching. It will get you. I hate scratching. It's filthy. It's a nasty thing.
They fight dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready to move on?
Okay. Well, if you'd focus. If you could hold our interest, then we didn't
get... So anyway,
I don't need a recap. We got it.
Okay.
So Charlie once backed down from a fight with a much larger boy, and when his uncle found out, because his uncle is, such a good guy at raising children, he was furious. And the next day, he made Charlie wear a dress to school.
Oh, man.
The dress belonged to his grandmother and was much too big for the small Charlie, which added to his humiliation. And Charlie never backed away from a fight
again. I would guess, even if it was fit perfectly.
Yeah, even if this was a Versace,
it would probably have been humiliating.
So after 3 years in prison, Kathleen, his mother, was released on parole. And in 1942, she came home and got her son. She rented out the cheapest hotel she could find and brought her then 7-year-old boy along to live with her. His mother had dismissed him and tried to sell him, but when she came home, she did something that was rare in Manson's life. She hugged him. It seems like a small gesture, but to the love-starved boy, it meant a lot. So much that, later in his life, Manson would look back on that hug and call it his sole happy childhood memory.
Now, to me, I think doing Lynette Squeaky Frome doggy style would be your favorite memory.
Well,
it's not a childhood memory, your toolbox.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think setting all the kids' toys on fire would be a favorite childhood memory.
Yeah. The joy didn't last, and by the time Manson was 13, his mother had started looking into getting him into foster care. I think we've all done that. I feel like we've all done that.
Again, in his point of view, she was just trying to get rid of him, but in what her family says is that she was trying to get him a better life because she couldn't support him.
Well, and that may be, but I can't speak for anybody else, but personally, I've looked up boarding schools and things
You know how they have that petfinder.org?
Yeah.
I've looked up kidfinder.org.
Kidfinder,
see if somebody was looking for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy.
Yeah, if Noah ever gets his hand on a cannon, you may want to revisit that again.
Good Lord. Kathleen knew she wasn't fit to take care of the child, so she was trying to get Charlie into the care of the estate. Foster care was not available, but with some effort, she managed to get him into a reform school called the Jabalt School for Boys.
Yeah, it's close enough. Close. I couldn't pronounce it
close
either.
Close enough for our kind of podcast.
Yeah, but you not being able to pronounce it's not saying a whole lot.
I know.
It looks like Jabalt. Manson was not happy. He made few friends and found the boys there untrustworthy. His only happy moments were the rare and sporadic visits by his mother, during which she would promise to take him home when she had enough money. After 10 months, Manson just couldn't deal with it anymore. He broke out of the school and made his way back to his mother's home, knocking on the door and hoping to earn one more loving embrace. Instead, though, his mother told him that she couldn't handle him, closed the door on him, and sent him back.
Again, this is Manson's version of
it. She never picked him up, and Manson never lived with her again.
You lost that love and feeling.
Nope.
At least she opened the door.
Yeah.
At age 30, and it's more than I would do.
She could turn the blinds down and turn off the lights.
Yeah.
No, I...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I think it was all the much sweeter that she opened it and slammed it in his face.
Let's see.
He probably walked up the
13.
13.
He probably walked up the walkway and there was like music playing, blaring lights on, shit. Yeah.
Everything went quiet. She could hear him say, "Shh, it's Charlie outside."
Well, never mind the fact that he knocked on the door, but Ma, I'm hungry. I want some food. Ma, give me some meatloaf. All right, so...
Yeah, really, meatloaf and hamburgers, the same damn thing.
It's not. Oh, it's not.
Stop. I think it is.
Oh,
I
it's
think
not.
It's pretty much... I think it's a bit... I really don't understand
meatloaf
the
is
concept.
A dish made with hamburger, but a hamburger and meatloaf are not the same thing.
What do you prefer?
A burger.
See, I like meatloaf. My mom makes very good meatloaf.
No such thing.
Now, oh, see, I like meatloaf sandwiches.
You would love my mom's meatloaf.
I would
but
not.
Only if the meatloaf's cold. I like the meatloaf to be cold. And Renee grew up like I did, I guess. She didn't have a whole lot of money. When my mama made meatloaf to me, it was like 1 pound ground beef, 3 pounds of oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just enough to give the oatmeal ground beef flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So it would kind of be crumbly and dry. You'd have to put a lot of ketchup on it. But then if it got cold, it was more solid.
I guarantee you'd like my mom's meatloaf.
No.
Yeah, it's really,
I don't
really
like
good.
Meatloaf.
It's really good.
I don't like it.
Really good.
Renee puts green peppers in it. I don't like that.
I don't like meatloaf. I'm not a big, huge fan of ketchup. Like, I can handle it a little bit, but I don't like meatloaf. Yuck.
My friend Carla doesn't like any condiments.
Well, good for Carla.
Carla doesn't like condiments?
Any condiments at all.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. At 13, he began a string of robberies targeting every store in the area, trying to save up enough rent to rent, save up enough money to rent a room of his own. He was caught while stealing a bicycle, and he went to juvenile detention. But he managed to break out within 24 hours and went right on robbing people.
Well, so, you know,
clearly didn't send
he was industrious.
Outcast.
And he just, I mean,
he was a hard worker.
He just had a whole string of car thefts, breaking and entering. He was pimping. I mean, he just did everything.
Pimping, and that ain't easy.
And pimping ain't easy.
Because bitches be testifying.
I know. So with the help of a classmate that he didn't trust.
I must say, a lot of his bitches didn't testify.
Well, no, they were all just as fucked up as him. But with the help of a classmate, he made his way through the city committing armed robberies before he was finally caught breaking into a grocery store. He was arrested and earned his first criminal charge.
Oh.
And he went to the Indianapolis Juvenile Center.
He popped his cherry.
The pair committed two armed robberies on their way to the home of the other boy's uncle. So they can't even go up the road. They can't do shit.
Sent up the river without.
No.
Yeah, he wasn't particularly
wasn't
effective.
A model prisoner.
Yeah.
Caught during the second of two subsequent break-ins of grocery stores, Manson was sent at age 13 to the Indiana Boys School, which I think we learned just a sentence back.
Yeah, he spent most of his life in some sort of institution or another.
Well, and he hated being there so much he broke out twice, only to be returned each time. Shortly after his escapes, the reason he wanted to get out became clear. Manson publicly accused the school of sexual assault, claiming that he had been repeatedly and consistently beaten and raped over the 3 years that he spent there.
Yeah, he was, like we said, he was a little guy and thin, short. And so some of the more, the bigger guys took advantage of that. And that's where they think he started acting crazy, kind of as a
People would leave him alone.
Yeah, a defense mechanism.
His accusations have never been proven, but they definitely attracted attention. A priest named Father Powers intervened and had Manson sent to a better school called Father Flanagan's Boys Town.
Oh, the famous Boys Town.
Yeah, that doesn't sound promising.
No, but that was a famous, what was the movie with Bing Crosby, remember?
Yeah.
Father Flanagan, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a famous institution there back in the...
All right.
40s and 50s. I don't know if they're still around today, but they were there a long time. I think it's in Nebraska.
This was meant to be Manson's big chance, and the papers reported on it. Why they reported on it?
Oh, it was like this story. It was a feel-good story of this kid, got off the wrong
dream
stall.
Comes true for Lad.
Yeah,
that was the...
yeah. And they take him out. He got accepted. Only they didn't find out until later that he wasn't Catholic because it was a Catholic. It was for Catholics.
Well, Manson was already fucked up, and his behavior didn't change. 4 days after he got there, he escaped with another boy.
Yeah.
So he was sent back to the Indiana Boys School and soon escaped again with two other boys in 1951. The boys fled the state in an attempt to get as far away from Indiana as possible, which, quite frankly, everybody should do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where he starts stealing cars, and he gets federal charges brought up against him for taking stolen cars across state lines. So he's starting to get into more big league trouble now.
In Utah, the three were caught driving to California in cars they had stolen. So, there's that.
Yes.
Jeez. They had burglarized several gas stations along the way. For the federal crime of taking a stolen car across the state line, Manson was sent to Washington, D.C., National Training School for Boys.
Yeah, you've been there, haven't you, Colonel?
Just for some technical training.
Yeah.
When he was 16, Manson was...
How to make license plates.
How to make license plates. Yeah. Some metal working was there for.
When he was 16, Manson was psychologically tested while in prison, and the results were troubling. Although he had an IQ of 109, he could barely read or write a single word. He had spent 4 years of his life in boys' schools, and he barely learned a thing. He was illiterate. The psychiatrist who diagnosed Manson blamed many of his problems on a strained relationship with his mother. He noted the amount of rejection, instability, and psychic trauma that Manson had experienced and said that he was constantly struggling to impress the other boys because of his lack of parental love.
Oh.
Oh, poor bastard.
He was busy escaping all the time. He didn't have time for all that learning.
Well, and true, but, they seem to want to lay it all at, his mother's, lay it on his mother, but nothing about about Colonel.
Yeah, it always gets laid on the mother.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Well, because you have vaginas. It's the vagina, Colonel. The vagina complex.
It is the vagina monologue.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the vagina monologue? Does it actually talk?
Have you ever...
No.
It just don't. Makes a bunch of squishy noises to me.
Jesus H. Christ.
You go to the... I was sitting down. I was expecting some kind of, like, you know, thing and all. I got.
You have never seen it.
Let me say, for those of you who are first-time listeners, this is probably the only podcast in which you're going to hear vagina noises.
Well, yeah. And that wasn't a vagina noise.
Well, it was close. You got to admit that. I know. I mean, he's fucking Rich Little over here.
I may not. It depends on the vagina.
She got the essence of the vagina.
Rich Little.
I believe I captured the essence there.
Yeah.
That was not a stale vagina either.
A vagina face. No.
Well, it was a very, you know, you sound like you had a little British accent there. So it had a British vagina.
All right. In October of 1951, on a psychiatrist's recommendation, Manson was transferred to the Natural Bridge Honor Camp, a minimum security institution.
And well deserved, I might say, because I bet he was above reproach and up to this point.
Let's see. Less than a month before a scheduled February 1952 parole hearing, he took a razor blade and held it against another boy's throat while he sodomized him.
No, oh, Colonel. I'm against sodomy, Colonel.
Hold on. So let me get this straight. So he's about to have a parole hearing.
Yeah.
And he decides, well, you know what I'll do?
You know, it's a good plan. Yeah.
I think I'm going to see. Parole boards tend to look down upon forced sodomy.
They frown, yes.
Yeah, they frown on sodomy, that. Period. But especially when you've got a razor blade to the sodomy throat.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm picturing he's on top, kind of.
Why are you picturing it at all? I'm struggling with that.
With a razor blade, you know.
Well, you know, the thing that's scary about that is, what, you know, there's an ultimate ending to this sodomication.
There's a climax.
There's a climax. And what if Charlie gets all wild and flat? Because he might be a flopper. You know, those people that just...
Or the guy is moving around.
Or the guy's moving around. Yep. And all of a sudden, you accidentally caught him.
He was transferred to the federal reformatory.
Wait a minute. How did his parole go? I'm guessing not well.
Not well. He was transferred to the federal reformatory in Petersburg, Virginia, where he was considered dangerous.
No shit.
You're laughing at Petersburg, or are you laughing that he was considered dangerous?
Which it ain't funny if you're the side of me, but so you got a parole hearing the next day, and your guard walks in on you,
and he discovers you're a sodomite.
We've, you know,
and it's like. Yeah.
My bad.
My bad. Yeah. Do over.
Oh, is that tomorrow? Shit.
Gotta get Mulligan here.
Let's see.
So, but you know, going back to the
help.
Where
quit
he was,
making me do this.
Where he was using his, you know, his crazy antics to kind of as a defense mechanism, he starts to switch it to become not
predatory.
Only predatory. Yeah, to be aggressive, use it for aggressive behavior.
He was using it for evil.
Clearly.
Well, he's using it to get a beast's tail.
Well.
All right.
Maybe they were making love. Maybe he liked it rough.
Maybe there was dating. Yeah. You don't know. Maybe it was a special night.
Brandy's being very judgmental.
You are being judgmental.
I don't know. I just feel like maybe that was his currency. He got traded to him. He was his by right.
Well,
I think he was a bitch.
For some smokes.
Smokes or some socks or some good flip-flops.
The good shower flip-flops.
Yeah, the good comfortable shower flip-flops are hard to get in prison.
So in September of 1952, a number of other serious disciplinary offenses resulted in his transfer to the federal reformatory in Chillicothe, a more secure institution.
Very close to my house.
Well, and that place is fucking scary.
Huh?
That place is fucking scary. Like, even the outside of that place is fucking scary.
Chillicothe?
Yeah. About a month after the transfer, he became almost a model resident. Hmm. Good work habits and a rise in his educational level from the lower fourth to the upper seventh grade won him a May 1954 parole.
See, he only needed to apply himself.
After temporarily honoring a parole condition that he lived with his aunt and uncle in West Virginia, Manson moved in with his mother.
Wow.
At 21 and just out on parole, Manson met and subsequently married Rosalie Willis, whom he seemed to find real happiness.
Yeah, this was like his one chance to be normal. Yeah, he meets this girl, he marries her, they have a child, and for a little bit he's kind of stable, which I'm sure you're going to say in a minute, but
because you wrote it.
Yeah, continue, please.
It's fucking great. So he and Rosalie, 3 months pregnant, left to start a new life in Southern California.
I wonder if he held a razor blade to her throat while he was doing it, Colonel.
I don't know. Some people are into that kind of weird shit, though.
Yes.
Brandy.
Unfortunately, they did so in a car stolen in Ohio.
Oh.
A charge that landed him back on probation and eventually back in jail after he failed to show up for a hearing on a similar charge in Indiana.
I was trying to keep count of all the car thefts that he committed, just known, and I lost track. I mean, it goes all the way up through when he's imprisoned in California from the murder charges.
While Manson was in prison, Rosalie gave birth to their son, Charles Manson Jr., CJ. During his first year in prison, Manson received...
I think I'd drop that junior.
I think I would change my name real fucking quick.
Yeah.
During his first year in prison, Manson received visits from Rosalie and his mother, who were now living together in Los Angeles. In March 1957, when the visits from his wife ceased, his mother informed him that Rosalie was now living with another man. Less than 2 weeks before a scheduled parole hearing, Manson tried to escape by stealing a car, and he was subsequently given 5 years probation, and his parole was denied.
Well, so, when you find out your wife is fucking someone else, that'd make you upset, Colonel.
Well, it tends to aggravate you. I mean, it depends on really who it is.
Well.
You know, if it's like Cody DiPablo, that's cool with me.
Right.
You know, if it's somebody that...
Brandy, you know, do you have someone that you... Is there a woman that you would let Dave have relations with, like an actress or someone?
I don't care.
That you would like to watch?
No. I mean,
you don't have anyone like to get a pass.
If somebody showed up at our doorstep,
Scarlett Johansson.
Sure, let's say that somebody showed up at our doorstep and needed you get a boner watching She. So I don't want to hear it.
Oh man,
watching what?
She.
Her.
Her. That's what it is. Her.
She has a nice voice.
Well, anyway, no. If somebody shows up at our door and needs directions or whatever, and wants to get with all that is my husband, go for it.
That's very open-minded of you, Brandon.
That is open. Well, see, no, that's a problem.
I didn't say there was a pass. I'm just telling him he can go for it, and that's fine.
Renee won't even let women come to our door because they...
Oh, they'd be there all the time.
Oh, it'd be a line for them down the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's entirely true.
Well, the Colonel's known for his prowess.
Nope.
Now, Charlie received 5 years parole in September 1958, the same year in which Rosalie received a decree of divorce. By November, he was pimping again, Timmy.
Well, you know what, Brandy, what they say about pimping?
It's not easy.
It's not easy. Bitches be testifying.
Oh, they be testifying all over, Timmy. And this was a 16-year-old girl, shame on him, and was receiving additional support from a girl with wealthy parents.
Nice.
In 1959, he pled guilty to charges of attempting to cash a forged U.S. Treasury check. He received a 10-year suspended sentence, or as we like to say, 10 years on the shelf, Timmy.
On the shelf.
Do we say that? Did you learn that in your little foray into prison?
Yeah, I learned that in the joint.
Yeah, sure. Colonel, been in a joint.
He got 10 years on the shelf. And after a young woman with an arrest record... for prostitution, made a tearful plea before the court that she and Manson were deeply in love and would marry if Charlie would just free. So the hoe got him off.
I'm telling you what, he had a way with women. You got to give him that. He could get pussy.
But before the year's end, the woman did, in fact, marry Manson, possibly so testimony against him would not be required of her. The woman's name was Leona. As a prostitute, she hadn't used the name Candy Stevens. Now, what's Candy rhyme with, Timmy?
I don't know. Brandy?
Prostitute name. Mandy. Handy.
Did you have a stripper
Dandy.
Name?
Dandy.
What?
Did you have a stripper
Did you
name?
Use your own name, or did you
First
have
of all,
a different
clearly
name?
I could use my own name. I would just have to change how it's spelled.
To I.
Right. No, I don't have.
What would be your stripper name if you chose one?
Brandy.
Oh, but wouldn't you do like something like Star?
Destiny.
Destiny. Yeah, that's hot.
Yeah,
it is kind of hot.
Yeah.
Awesome. How long did you strip for?
I stripped for never. Never did I do that.
But you don't have anything against women who strip, do you?
No, I don't care.
Well, after Manson took a and another woman from California to New Mexico for purposes of prostitution.
You'd be pimping, pimping, ain't easy.
Yeah, he took them across state lines, though, so he was questioned for violation of the Mann Act.
Mann Act.
And that's two N's, Mann Act.
When you take someone across state lines for immoral purposes.
For immoral fornication. Though he was released, he evidently suspected rightly that the investigation had not ended.
You know, they busted a guy in Kentucky where I live not that long ago because he had picked up a woman on Backpage. And maybe it was Craigslist. I can't remember. But anyway, she was over here in Cincinnati. And she went over there as, you know, out call or in call. I don't know what that's called. But anyway, she went over there to fornicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they busted him on the Mann Act.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She's the one to cross a line.
I agree. She should have been arrested.
She should have been thrown in the clink.
She was a woman. They couldn't get her on that, I guess.
Jesus. You know what? You can't get a break as a man around here. It's a woman's world.
It really is.
So anyway, Charlie's suspecting this investigation ain't over with. When he disappeared in violation of his probation, a bench warrant was soon forth issued. An April 1960 indictment for violation of the Mann Act followed. You know what the Woman Act is, Timmy.
What's that?
That's just to torment you and nag you and
act like they're coming.
Complain. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, have you ever faked an orgasm?
Come yes.
On. All right. All women do.
Yeah.
I faked them too. Have you ever faked an orgasm, Colonel?
I can have orgasms on demand, Timmy.
He's tantric orgasms.
I have tantric. I can have one right before we finish this podcast.
If you could not do that, that'd be great.
Okay, I'm just telling you. If you would like to see one, it is a little messy.
I would not.
I guess you could wear adult diapers, and it wouldn't be as messy.
Did you see the guy on the internet?
Are you willing to risk your keyboard for that?
No.
Some kind of disorder. He has 100 orgasms a day.
No, I didn't see that.
I've heard about people like that. Disorder, that sucks.
Oh, it does suck, man.
Yeah, he was racked with orgasms at his father's funeral.
Just think at how much his father's funeral.
His father's funeral. He was racked with orgasms.
So, like, right when they're, like, giving him the, you know, they're doing a eulogy and he's just, like, shouting, "Take it all, bitch," or something?
I don't think it goes that far. So, yeah. I think it's more of just...
I bet he smokes a lot.
Yeah. I bet he runs out of tissue paper. Yeah.
No, I think he's the dry ejaculations.
They'd have to be eventually.
They're dry orgasms. That's not the word.
They'd have to be eventually. That's the worst kind.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, gagging and not throwing up. Kind of like that.
Yeah. You ever get tricked into one, Timmy?
Tricked into an orgasm?
Yeah.
I've got tricked into plenty of orgasms. Yeah.
I've been tricked into them, too.
I think every orgasm I've ever had, I've been tricked into it.
So he disappears.
Always cost me money.
They're looking for him under the Mann Act. Mm-hmm. He gets arrested in Laredo, Texas, Timmy.
I've been in Laredo. Let me tell you, it's a hellhole.
Never been there, Timmy.
No, I've been in El Paso. El Paso's a hellhole.
He's arrested in June when one of the women...
You've never walked in the streets of Laredo?
Mm-mm. Laredo? No. I'm not allowed in Laredo, Timmy.
Oh. There's some kind of... They got some sort of...
Word spread from San Antone.
Oh, yeah.
And
so you're not allowed in the whole state of Texas?
I'm a wanted man in Laredo, Texas, Timmy. Mm. In June, when one of the women was arrested for prostitution, surprise, Manson returned to Los Angeles. For violation of his probation on the check cashing charge, he was ordered to serve his 10-year sentence.
Oh yeah, Lord. That check was like what? How much did you say it was for?
It's not in here, Timmy.
I think it was like for $74 or something. He got 10 years in prison. Well, I mean, violated. I mean, let's face it, it was well deserved, but.
Yeah.
But still.
So he gets transferred from the Los Angeles County Jail to the U.S. United States Penitentiary at McNeil Island. And guess who he meets there, Timmy?
I know. You tell me.
Alvin Creepy Karpus.
Of the Mall Barker gang.
He was a criminal genius, Timmy. He was the brains behind the Mall Barker gang.
He was, actually.
And a former public enemy number one, which he has in common with the devil there. Mm-hmm. And he was considered by his criminal peers to be one of the keenest minds in the underworld. Hmm. He was a bit of a prison renaissance man, Timmy.
Okay. Much like yourself there, Colonel.
Well, I like to think of myself as a podcasting renaissance man.
Well, you are. You are indeed. Wouldn't you say so, Brandy?
I would not.
You're being difficult today.
He knows a lot of things, the Colonel. I mean, he can talk about music. He can talk about history.
Well, no, he can talk about anything.
Well, I'm saying he's a renaissance man. He certainly knows his. He certainly knows all the lady parts and where they are.
And the sounds they make.
I don't think that's true.
He could point out if you put a picture of a vagina and associated parts.
I can name all the state capitals. I can name all the tingly parts. Mm-hmm. What more do you want from a person?
Can you just get through this fucking script? That's what I want.
Well, I'm working my way through it.
That's what I want.
I'm working my way through it.
She's impatient.
Yeah. Is it? Oh, you know what it is, Timmy.
It's not.
It's the 27th.
Oh.
It's not.
You needing some chocolate devil?
Did you get a visit from your friend?
She's about to get a visit from her friend.
You're about to get a visit from my friend.
When she gets the visit, she's kind of mean, but before she gets a visit, she's really mean to me.
Women should really work on that, you know?
You know, I think women should have to wear like a Fitbit. You know how I got my Fitbit right here on my wrist? I think women should have to wear two different things. Mm-hmm. They should have to wear a PMS bracelet saying it's right around the corner, I'm going to be cranky. Mm-hmm. And they should have to wear a I'm on my period bracelet.
Everybody
would know. They'd know just to give you some distance, give you some room. Don't make eye contact.
But see, I think that gives women, I think a lot of times that PMS, that it's almost like it gives them an excuse.
For poor behavior.
Mm-hmm. Whereas if they would prey on it more.
Let the Lord into your life, devil.
Shut up.
Open up your stony little heart there and let the Lord in.
I wish the both of you would bleed out of your penis for a week and get cramps and whine and piss and moan and have to wear tampons and pads and all of that other kind of fun stuff.
You got all these things.
Yeah, my chocolate. You get to eat whatever you want once a month. You can just go crazy. Oh, I'm on my period. Leave me alone.
Come on. You do use it as an excuse sometimes.
You do quite often.
When have I ever used it as an excuse with either one of you?
I'm just maybe it with Dave. Do you use an excuse with Dave? I don't want to do laundry tonight, Dave.
How many times have we come in here
I don't want to shovel snow tonight, Dave. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to overhaul the transmission tonight, Dave.
We come in here and we're like, come on, devil, you got to read the script. And she busts out crying.
My monthly visitor. You guys just don't understand.
I have never done that.
Don't worry because you're toward the end. Colonel?
I got a page to go, but.
No, I mean, she's toward the end of having to worry about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And again, if either one of you ever bled out your penis.
I actually did bleed out of my penis one time.
Why am I not surprised? Why am I not fucking surprised? You know what?
So read the fucking script. You don't have anything. Oh, hold on. We stop. Oh,
that's a shame.
So you don't have anything on him.
Well, how much did you bleed out of your penis? Let's be honest.
I had a kidney stone. I had a kidney stone that was the size damn near of a marble. Except kidney stones, they're not... The jagged little crystal stone.
I've had kidney stones.
You have not had one exit through your penis, devil.
That's true. I haven't.
But you will one day.
It came out my urethra, yeah. Which essentially is, you know, the same thing.
No, because your urethra is maybe 2 inches long.
Uh-huh.
And
For you, same thing.
It's only, and as I said, the first 6 inches of the kidney stone passing is terrible.
Right.
The next 4 inches are just total hell.
Yeah.
Just and then it's pleasurable after hell. That.
It is pleasurable.
I've had a human come out of my body.
That's nothing. I always want to fall back on that one.
Yeah. So I'm in Chicago.
I know.
And I get a kidney stone. Renee tells me, why don't you see if you got a kidney infection, go pee or something. I start peeing, and there is blood coming out of my member.
Did Charlie Manson ever have a kidney stone?
Let me tell you, I got a little short little story that's God embarrassing. Damn it. But, you know, Claire and I went to Mexico. And, you know, we're still relatively new in our relationship.
The story's going to gross me out.
And we had a nice day together, whatever. And we were getting ready. I went to take a shower, and then it was going to come out, and we were going to go to dinner. Well, I looked down in the floor of the shower, and there's fucking blood. So I'm freaking out, trying to figure where it's blood. And apparently I had scratched myself, like, on a scrotum.
Oh, the scrotum scratch. I hate that.
And, and it bleeds. I mean, it bleeds. Yeah, so it bleeds I'm, like, taking paper towels and shit, and it's not stopping. So I know I need, like, a, you know, I'm going to need a Band-Aid, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have a Band-Aid, but there is a Band-Aid down, you know, there's a little store.
Yeah.
So I had to disclose to Clara what my problem was, that I was bleeding from my scrotum, which, you know, raised questions in her mind.
Which, it's understandable to me. But I have an open sore on the shaft of my penis. It's bleeding. Could you give me a Band-Aid for that?
Yeah.
Just a little cream, some gauze.
Yeah. She had a headache for the next few days.
I would think so.
Did you have to put that through your Google Translator?
Continue, Colonel.
Well, Carpus was a criminal.
It came closer after that, though, because, you know, it was like a moment that we had.
No.
Well, my penis did bleed, and I didn't make everybody around me miserable. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, you did.
So Carpus, he's a criminal genius.
And yours was not natural. I mean, with brandy, that's natural.
That's how the world's supposed to work.
That's what God created. Yeah.
Blood ain't supposed to come out of a penis.
Stop talking.
Well, I'm just saying.
Please. Start telling me more about Charlie Murphy or Charles Manson or whoever the fuck
creepy
we're still talking
Carpus,
about.
Would you pay attention?
Who's Creepy Carpus?
Oh, you ain't even listening.
Creepy no, Carpus I was, forgot what was... you were talking about.
Okay, he meets Alvin Carpus in prison.
Okay.
He asks Carpus to teach him how to play guitar. Now, Carpus initially thought Manson was lazy and shiftless, much like the devil, to put in the effort. But he was surprised when Charlie, whom he also described as having a pleasing personality, although meek and mild, became proficient enough to accompany himself and even write his own songs.
Charlie really was into the Beatles.
Yeah. He described Manson's voice as pleasant and implied that Charlie could have a real career as a singer. Also, while imprisoned, he took classes given by the Dale Carnegie Institute based on Carnegie's best-selling self-help book, How to Murder Friends.
No.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, well, he was a star student.
Yeah. Now, the book was considered an essential read for salespeople and business managers, endorsed by icons as diverse as Warren Buffett and Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Basically a primer on salesmanship and social success. And maybe if you read that book, Devil, you wouldn't be so socially inept.
Well, maybe she could win a few friends.
Yeah. Or not, you wouldn't, what is that word?
Be hated?
Terrify people like you
that's
do.
That's the word.
Yeah. Yeah, be so intensely hated by the rest of the world.
Yeah, you know, I don't see a lot of Team Brandy folks coming out lately.
No. No, because you know what? She's finally shown her true colors.
Oh, they're there.
I don't see them.
They're hiding in the woodwork.
They're there.
So, Manson studied this book intensely, especially the chapters on dealing with how to get others to take ownership of an idea or concept. He would endlessly practice the exercise from the book in his jail cell. He later became an expert at such manipulative tactics, studying the mind control methods of Scientology and its even creepier splinter group, the process church at a final judgment. And you know what? What's going to come to you one day, devil? The final judgment. You ain't going to be prepared for it because you have not signed up for your membership at the first day of the Latter-day Current, First Church of the Latter-day Colonel for $14.95, although we're giving New Year's specials. For you folks who have a New Year resolution to clean your souls, we are going to let you do it cheap. So check out my website. Check out my page.
Point that finger at me again, and I'm going to rip it off and shove it in your urethra, and we'll see who bleeds from their penis.
See, that's
Charlie what? Was, he studied Scientology, but at some points he says he was a Baptist. Some points he says he was Church of Nazarene. I mean, he just was all over the place.
Well, according to his biographer, Jeff Gwynn, it was the Carnegie training that allowed Charlie to make the transition from low-level pimp to frighteningly effective sociopath. In 1963, Leona got a divorce from his ass, in the pursuit of which she alleged that she and Manson had had a son, Charles Luther. His September 1961 annual review in prison noted that he had a tremendous drive to call attention to himself.
Really? No shit.
An observation echoed 3 years later.
Narcissist, Charlie
In
Manson.
June 1966, Manson was sent for the second time in his life to Terminal Island in preparation for early release. By March 67, his release day, he had spent more than half of his 32 years in prison and other institutions. When his sentence in Terminal Island ended in 1967, Manson had made peace with being a prisoner, and he didn't want to leave. He begged to stay in jail, saying that he was incapable of living outside of the prison walls. His request was denied, and Manson was released despite his own protests. On his release day, Manson requested and was granted permission to move to San Francisco, where he put some flowers in his hair.
He did. It was right before the Summer of Love.
It was. Where, with the help of a prison acquaintance, he moved into an apartment in Berkeley. A short while afterward, he started his infamous Manson family cult. Less than 2 years later, he was responsible for one of the most infamous mass murders in U.S. history. And that, listeners, is the end of part one of our series on Charlie Manson.
Yeah, do you know who he babysitted for when he was out?
Babysat. Babysat for.
Yeah, you know who he babysat for?
I believe it was. I know who it was. It was like Dennis the Menace or some
no.
shit.
No.
Grandpa Aulus from the Munsters.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Babysat his children.
And Aulus said he was a good guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. He didn't hold a razor to nobody's throat.
He didn't sodomize them.
I guess, you know, it's a low bar after you've been sodomizing people. So that is part one. Listeners, if you keep tuned in, there's going to be three more parts to this.
Yes. Next time we'll
get hopefully Brandy will stay on focus.
Next time we're going to discuss, except we're going to be jumping around a little bit. Next time we're going to talk about the family, the different family members. And then in episode two and in episode three, we're going to talk about the murders. And then finally the investigation, the trial, and eventually the incarceration once again of Charles Manson. Brandy, what are your final thoughts on young Charlie Manson?
You know, he had a fucked up childhood, but who knows if it's actually true or not.
Right.
I mean, you know.
It's hard to tell with him. Colonel, your final thoughts on young Charlie Manson?
I think he was just destined to. I think he's a fascinating guy, the way he's just a little kind of a midget of a guy and could start controlling people. But I think if you put yourself out there.
He had the gift of the gab, or he has the gift of gab.
There's a lot of crazy people in the world that will follow a strong leader. And
he reminds me of Hitler. I don't know why.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, it just reminds me of him personality-wise.
Yeah, with his speeches and...
And, you know, total bullshit. And like you said, you find people who are vulnerable and they'll follow anyone. Especially these girls who were not... I mean, let's face it. They were not the most beautiful women in the world. The Manson girls. But he would tell them that they were. And they wanted to hear it, you know. And women are kind of gullible, Colonel.
Well, women can be gullible at times. Other times, they're devious and malicious.
Well, foul. Other times they'll stab you to death and then, you know, paint.
Put you through a coffee grinder. Yeah, or
paint words with your blood and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
until they get older, and then they're less rambunctious. And they
well, once they grow the penis, they start to settle down, Timmy.
When do you say they grow the penis, Colonel? What
well,
years?
I think it's been scientifically shown at roughly about 40, the bud starts popping out, Timmy.
It's sort of like a tooth coming in.
Yeah, that's why they're so cranky at around 40. It ain't the menopause. It's like when a baby's teething. They're always sore and tender down there.
Yeah. Pause to be men.
Mm-hmm. Pause to be, they're pausing to be men.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Randy. You're
how old, devil? 42?
Fuck you.
Okay.
And you. You're both asswipes.
What's your thought on the...
Oh, I have many thoughts.
What's your thought? What age do you think that women become men?
Oh, about the time. Fuck you.
See,
she is on the period. Or getting
I'm
ready
not
to.
On
but
my
she won't
period.
Be having it much longer. When she
becomes enjoy
man.
This period while you can, because you only got about three more left.
Yeah.
All right, you can find us on Facebook.
Wait a minute, he's got to do shout-outs.
Well, Jesus Christ, get the fuck on with it.
Shout-outs, Colonel.
She's a little tense today, wouldn't you say,
cranky.
Timmy?
Cranky.
Yeah, I bet Charlie wouldn't want you in a cult. Mm-mm. Okay, let's start off with...
I wouldn't need Charlie.
Lovely Tasha and Miss Ophelia.
Out there in California, I hope you had a wonderful holiday, Tasha and Ophelia.
Well, we hope all our listeners had a wonderful holiday.
No, I'm doing commentary as you're
okay.
Talking.
Okay. Jeff Girdley, of course.
Jeff, how's it going?
Sam Hildebrand.
Sam.
Angie Ball.
Angie.
Jennifer and Linda Middleton, how you doing? Hope you had a great Christmas out there. And Linda, that was a very lovely tea cart you got there. I seen that on Facebook. Somebody, I don't know if somebody made
it
or bought
it.
He
beautiful.
Made it.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful thing. Missy Dean Horton, hello. We will kill you. Britt and Chris, of course. Celine, Jeff Chestnut, Dr. Jeff, Teresa Slavin, Tommy Boomershine, Shonda and Larry.
Who went, by the way, to Larry took her to Disneyland.
Yes, he did.
That was very nice.
He did.
Of
He's
him.
A wonderful man.
Yeah.
Diana Clark Trowbridge, who do not have a TV.
I hope she appreciates it and takes that in consideration.
I hope she does. I hope he is compensated in some way for his kindly and gentlemanliness.
He should.
Diana Clark Trowbridge, who do not have a TV in their living room, or in their bedroom,
that's,
we found out. So you know what that just tells me? They don't want to be distracted, Timmy.
Yeah.
They don't want no distractions when they go in there.
Yeah. The bedroom is for one thing.
One thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They got sleeping rooms in the other side of the house, but their bedroom.
Sleep on a sofa.
Yeah. Phyllis Munson, Aaron Wentz, Donna Curran and Tucker, Brian and Lisa Lawton, Olivia Meyer, Andy Volley, Marvin Hammond. I got a kick out of Marvin, and who was the other one that said they tried Viagra for the first time in their life?
Oh, I don't remember.
There's two of them, and it was...
It was Marvin. Marvin's hilarious.
Yeah.
Marvin from Australia.
From Down Under. Mary Ray.
He's big Down Under.
Katie Moorhead.
Yeah, you didn't even mess with her name.
You know what? Because it's Christmas, I'm in the Christmas spirit. I just want to give her a good, clean shout-out. Katie Moorhead.
Yeah, actually, Christmas is over, but okay.
Christine
Bourgeois.
There we go.
Sorry, Shonda. I know you don't like it when I talk into the mic.
Jeff Appel. Maggie Glover. Brandy McBride. And, of course, Lydia.
Bond.
Jean Bond.
Tara. John Cunningham. Gabby Lewis. Laura O'Reilly. Jamie Tarantino. I still got to get a picture to you, Jamie. She's going to draw a picture for me. If you give her a photograph, she'll draw it.
Really? Yeah, mm-hmm. She's a great artist.
Oh, she's incredible.
She needs to post a picture of herself, though.
Sydney and Michael, Stephanie Quick, Trixie, Crazy Gina Spillane.
And shout out to Dave Hill. I think we've missed him a couple times, Colonel.
Okay.
You can put him on your
Dave
list.
Dave Hill. Let me write him down so I don't miss him again.
Okay.
So, Mr. Hill, hello. William Truax. Denny.
Denny McNamara. Denny, we're going to work on your suggestion for your podcast. Thank you very much.
Did you see the picture of Denny's family on?
I did. He has a very nice family.
He has
family.
A beautiful family. Yeah. Did you see a little baby of his?
Yeah. He's very nice.
Cutest
picture.
Thing you're ever going to see. Yeah. Byron Snellings, Bridget Clavey, Kate McCarthy, our own lovely Katja.
Katja over there in Denmark.
Rebecca Montanle, Mike Eisenhower, Danielle Fredrickson, Toby Deese, Kim Kazmersky Kamikaze, Jennifer Hawkins, Tara Nee, Lindsay McMillan, of course, Eddie Rushing, Joel Handler, and I never can get this guy's name right. It's J-O-R-G. Somebody tell me how to pronounce
that. George.
George?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, George. You know who you are. You're the only J-O-R-G on the show. Sammy James, of course. My buddy Jason Dykes, Amy Carol Payne, crazy-ass Tyra Jenkins.
I like Tyra. She's cool.
Oh, she's funny as hell, but she's crazy. Carlene Madison, Alan Dobbs. I got George. Kelsey Froh, of course, Ron Ratzke, Peter Fulmer, Amber Anderson, Danielle Fredrickson, Christian Dormer, Little Emmy Waterfall, Suzanne Maxwell Angles, Kirsten Davidson, new listener Becky Mitchell, new one Sarah Rivera, Dave Hill, we got him, Annette Petre.
In the Bronx.
In the Bronx, who's going to fix up the Colonel body for him. Steph Glenn.
Godspeed.
Christine. What do you think about the Colonel all buttered up? And you ever thought about that, Randy?
You know you got all tingly when you thought about that.
I threw up a little in my mouth.
Christina Hodges.
Full of hate.
Christina Montana. Christina is one of our crazier listeners. Maria Barbara. Jennifer Potts. Cindy Overstreet Hamilton, Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lebrano, Brittany Powell, of course, Heather Hall and Heather Poole, Andaza, Jeff Hopkins, John Janke, Mike Tabor, Lise, of course, Kevin Behan, Carol Nash, Terry Helmsley, Heather Marshall, Maddie Kinnan, Pavlova, Amelia Orozco, Menacon, Michael Daniel, we got Jim Moyer, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, of course, Stacy Lynn, Jeffrey Dolan, Marion Buchwald, Jennifer Miller, Toby Deese, Susanna Sheldon, Genesis, Ramoni Danger Howard, Skip Fayou, Callie Jones, of course, Brandy Willis Deese, Andy Smizer, Gigi, Norman,
turn
Norma
your phone
DiMaggio.
Off, please.
And then we get to the Colonel crew.
Yes, who would that be?
Colonel crew. Now we got, you know who the mascot of the Colonel crew is, Timmy?
Oh, tell me, Colonel.
Little Fallon.
Fallon.
Lovely little Fallon.
Lovely lady. I think she's from Texas, right?
From Texas. She's the official mascot of the Colonel crew, Timmy.
I did not know that.
Yes, she is.
Very lovely.
Of course, we got the solicitor of the Colonel's. That would be Nicola Reed.
Fine Barster.
We got Allie, who's the muscle and the enforcer of the group.
Allie down there in Australia.
Crazy ass Allie down there. She.
Who will be coming to Crime Con?
Man, did you see? And see, I'm friends with some of these people on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday she posted a picture that just broke my heart because she said she needed to get it out. She just had to get out of the house for a little air. And it must be close to a house, and it's this picture of this just beautiful beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody should be able to live like that.
Well, it's summer in Australia.
I wonder how many people Allie had to kill to get a house like that, Timmy.
I don't know. She's a very dangerous woman.
She's an extremely dangerous woman. Sarah Mimosa, Sarah Spaghetti, Jen Burdick, Karen Barnes, of course, Janet Fitzgerald, Frances Darton, Jessica Williams, Amanda Bocciball, Shannon, Tiffany, Monica D'Agostino, Scotty J, of course, Angela Cobes, Radhika Smith, and I'm missing one. Who is the one that yelled at me yesterday for getting on redheads?
I don't know.
hold on, Timmy. We gotta find that one.
Well, Brandy, in the meantime, while he's looking at that, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yes, we have two pages, but really the page that we interact with everyone is History Dweebs, the podcast. So if you check out History Dweebs, the podcast on Facebook, join it. That's where all the folks that we give shout outs to, that's where they hang out. And a lot of fun stuff going on there, and we always love to have more people join us. So check us out on History Dweebs.
Well, Josh Burton, did I get him? Hold on, give me 1 second because I don't want to miss this one.
Where else can people find us, Brandy?
She's mean. Angie Drake. We got to get her.
Angie Drake, yes.
Casey. You can find us on Facebook, on iTunes.
Yeah, you can find us on iTunes. Please leave us a review.
You can find us on Twitter.
At HistoryDweebs1, or you could follow the Colonel at HawkWaters.
And you can find us on Stitcher or Libsyn or wherever.
Yes, Amber Anderson is who you're talking about, Colonel.
Michael Goodwin, of course.
Amber Anderson was on.
Amber Gilchrist Anderson, right?
Yeah, was on you for the...
Yeah, about the redhead thing, and yeah. I stand by Karen Barnes.
Do you got Karen Barnes on your list?
Oh, yeah, I got Karen.
Okay.
And Michael Goodwin, of course.
Fat Boy Gardner.
And Fat Boy Gardner, yeah.
Who is neither fat, a boy, or a gardener. What do you think about that, Brandy?
I don't know what to say.
Thank you. All right, Colonel, is that all the shout-outs?
That's all. If I missed anybody, just put it on the page and say, Colonel, you forgot me. What the hell's up with that?
What about Kirstie? Did you say Kirstie?
Kirstie Ramston?
Yeah. I know him, you don't. All right, Brandy, it was a pleasure doing this podcast with you. I look forward to doing many, many more with you. We're going to do one tomorrow on the Charlie Manson family. We're going to talk about Lynette Squeaky Frome and Tex Watson and the whole crew. You excited about that?
I'm about ready to pee myself.
Are you going to be done with this whole messy ordeal by tomorrow?
Are you going to be done running your dick sucker anytime soon?
Look at it.
That's
a
crude,
simple question. It is. This is why we get one-star reviews. It's when people say vulgar and crude.
Yeah.
Why can't
they're really
you just,
talking about you.
Yeah, they're talking about you. Why can't you just say yes? That was a yes or no question. That's the problem with women. You ask them a yes or no question. They got to get into commentary. Look at it, Timmy. Putting their hands on me. Ow. Putting their hands on me.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye. Day.
Bye, everyone.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.